So, welcome, Melissa and Ned, to Christie Walk, where I live, and I'm really pleased that you could come here and do a recording. I believe the theme is going to be about language and early childhood learning. And we're doing this on Kaurna land, the land of the Adelaide Plains people. So, do you want to just introduce yourself properly?
Thank you. Thanks, Sue. Nina Marnie.
Yeah,
it's Nina good Marnie. To be here with you and with Ned as well. Yeah, so my name is Mel Angel, and I'm an early childhood teacher, and I've been working here in Adelaide in the early childhood field for the last 10 years. But prior to that, I did train in secondary school, and that's where we met, Sue, when I was working out at Balaclava with Anthony Tate.
He's a bit of a link between a whole lot of people, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Yeah. Have you ever had him on your podcast?
I have.
We caught up with him a couple of years ago, didn't we, Ned?
Yeah, we met up in New York.
And you're a mother and son duo?
Yeah. So I'm Ned Balderstone. I'm a young musician from Adelaide, songwriter, do lots of theatre as well.
Yeah, we've done a bit of work together over the past year, which we're looking forward to sharing with you today, Sue.
Absolutely. It's lovely to hear of a mother and son duo that have done some work together, and particularly in an area as important as the one that you'll be talking about. How is it that you came to be in the early learning program?
Well, initially I did an arts degree, and then I did a graduate diploma in secondary education, and I was teaching English out at Balaclava where I met Anthony. And then my husband and I decided that we'd go to Japan and teach English for a while, and when we came back had our first baby, and then went on to have a couple more, and Ned's the youngest one. Mm-hmm. And during that time I wasn't working in schools. I was working at a wildlife sanctuary. I don't know if you remember Warrawong Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I learned a lot about our native flora and fauna, and that was fantastic. And then as the kids got older, I thought, you know what? I have really loved being with young children. I just felt like I really get them. I really like them. They're really interesting. And I decided that I would go back to uni and study early childhood education. There's so much potential for really building a career in that area, because there's still not a great deal of appreciation for this area. You know, often, you know, even my own mum would say, oh, you know, with all your education and there you are changing nappies and wiping noses. And, you know, sure, there is that aspect to working with really young children, but they're also such incredible learners. And I think, you know, Ned would agree, because he's come in to work with me over the past year with children as young as 2 years old. And we've done a lot of song composition with the children, that he was really blown away when he first came into the environment of being in an early learning centre and discovering just how incredibly capable and intelligent really young children are.
And open to learning.
Mm. Yeah, I guess on that, I've always been the youngest in the family. So, yeah, I never really had much to do with really young children or know them very well. So coming into work at the school was sort of the first experience that I had with, you know, hanging out with children that young. And kind of blew me away how they think, because I've never really seen that before. So that's pretty cool.
And, Ned, people my age now have to go through a whole process of unlearning all the stuff that I was taught as a child, that, you know, Captain Cook discovered Australia, and that the First Nations people that were here loved it. They loved it, and they saw what a better life was coming for them and everything. I was taught that, and I believe that. And so people my age have to go through a huge unlearning curve. And I suppose a little bit, even though you're quite a bit younger, a little bit the same with you, Melissa, that you have to unlearn things to understand how to teach young people.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I definitely am from the school days where we were all sitting in rows listening to the teacher at the front. We were regarded as, you know, the empty vessels to pour the knowledge into. And fortunately today there is a really different perspective of how to educate children. So we talk now in the early learning years about learning side by side with children, that we're teachers and learners together. As a teacher, I also see myself as a researcher discovering how it is that children learn and the kinds of things that we can do together. So I think one of the advantages of coming to this profession later in life, so I was 44 when I went back to uni to study the early childhood. I already had an arts degree. I'd taught in a number of different contexts. I had, you know, had a lot of life experience, and of course I've got my own interests and passions, and these are things that you can bring to your teaching. In the early years, we do have a curriculum, the Early Years Learning Framework, which is from birth to eight. And it's very broad, and within that, you can really do a lot, and you can choose the avenues or the vehicles by which you need to get to those outcomes. So I have a passion for the arts. I have a passion for language, a passion for music, and a passion for Australian culture, life, biodiversity, people and language. So what I've been able to do with my classes of children is to do the things that I love, and definitely something that I'm very passionate about is learning about who we are, where we live, you know, who are we as a society? And I think as Australians, we're really grappling with that. You know, what is our national identity and how are we going to be able to, you know, come to a sort of mutual understanding about that. So we do have a fantastic opportunity to work with really young children to give them, you know, the kind of the tools to grow up and to already have a really great understanding and acceptance of the fantastic history and heritage, and not the one that you were taught to, that you just referred to.
Yeah, I think I was lucky enough. I started school in 2007, which was around the time that Rudd gave the apology, which was when the induction of the First Nation education was sort of first really introduced in schools. So I've always like had that in my learning, which has been really great for me and for a lot of people my age and upwards. But yeah, before then there was like really nothing in schools talking about the First Nation sort of
People who were like in their 20s that I know, I asked them, did you do a daily acknowledgement at school? No. What do you know about Kaurna people, language, culture? Nothing. You know, there was a trip, you know, that Lily, Ned's sister, went on in year 10 to Mimalee. Absolutely incredible, life-changing.
Yeah, that's great.
Had to go up to, you know, the Northern Territory to do that. You know, did you say an acknowledgement at your classroom or at assemblies?
Yeah. We got an acknowledgement, but I was really the first of that generation to get that. Like around 2007, 2008, I forget which year.
Well, you're 19 now and you've been out of school for a year. So the best we can say that is in the past 20 years that there's been something in schools for our kids.
Yeah, at least the last 12 years anyway, 12, 13 years. There'd always be a daily acknowledgement. It was pretty basic. And still the depiction of the people was still a little bit just not accurate, and it was still the whole Captain Cook stuff and still wasn't right. So it's still a long way to go, and I hope that since I've left school it's changed a fair bit.
Did you think everybody were Kaurna people, or did you know that there were different clan groups around?
No, I didn't know that. I thought everyone was,
because that's what you knew.
Yeah, we would do the daily acknowledgement, you know, at least at assembly.
Yeah.
About thanking the Kaurna people for the land. And to be honest, I didn't really know what Kaurna was for a long time. It was just something we said.
Yeah. So, like saying grace.
Yeah, exactly right. Because we would do them both hand in hand at a Catholic school. Yeah. So.
I think something that has really had a huge impact for us, and I think is so important, is the opportunity to work with someone from the community. So we, Ned and I, have had the opportunity to work with Emerging Kaurna Elder Tamaru. I've worked quite closely with him over the past 4 years, and the possibility of being able to ask questions, to talk things through, to have someone there that the children can see and meet. And Tamaru is fantastic. He's very charismatic. He's very fun. He's very open, wanting to share his language and culture. And whenever, you know, he would come to our class, he'd always ask, can the children do their acknowledgement? Because he really loved hearing them say it. And then he'd sit down with us. You know, we could say, oh, you know, we've got this song about, you know, wallabies and wombats, and how do you say this in Kaurna? And so he'd just teach us little things at a time. First, we would always be saying Nina Marnie, And then that was really great. But then we realized we were saying Nina Marnie, everyone. And he was like, actually, Nina Marnie is just for one person. If you want to ask everyone, then it's Na Marnie. And so then we understood we could say Nina Marnie to our teachers, but then I'd say Na Marnie to the whole group. And calling the children to come in with Nyunkan Amina, and he made a beautiful pair of clapsticks that he gave to me, and all the children have got their own little pairs of clapsticks. Oh, so and he taught us this song, and it's just Nyunkan Amina, Nyunkan Amina. And he always did this big at the end, which kids know.
Totally joining at that point.
They love it. And if they were ever getting like a bit too ratty or whatever while he was wanting to talk, he'd just go, and they'd all just stop. So, yeah, we've had a lot of fun with him and we've learnt so much. And over the last few years, we've actually, along with Ned, written songs together whereby the language can be reinforced for the children because they're singing these songs every day.
Yeah, every day.
And also they're then going home and singing the songs. And then the parents are coming in and saying, oh, what's this that, you know, my child's saying something about Nyunkana and, you know, and then we'd be able to tell them. And the parents have come in and heard us singing all of our different songs. So they then are learning the language. And in this way, you know, you've got the littlest, the youngest citizens of Adelaide being the actual teachers. Mm. And they've got the passion for the language. Mm. They love it. And from them, the parents are learning too. And the parents are saying things to us like, I didn't have this when I was at school. And it actually really breaks my heart that I didn't, you know. And to see my child, who's 2, 3 or 4, being able to sing and speak in Kaurna language, it's actually really emotional because they know more now than I ever learned in my whole school life.
Yeah, and they're like 2 and 3. So it's great. And hopefully it can be carried on into when they go to school. Well, right? Because we don't want to do all of this incredible work and then it get lost when they get into Aotearoa 1.
Mm. And this is the concern because it does seem that in the early years you've got this flexibility that allows you to do all this incredible learning, and then they go into the classroom and somehow it's still very formal and not as organic, or there's not as much potential. Mm. Or they're somehow not as committed to this kind of, you know, it'd be great if we could see a bit more of that. But at least I'm in the early years field and this is a big passion of mine, so I can do what I can do in this area.
I have a friend who's a Google Yalanji, and that's around Mossman in Queensland. Mm-hmm. Along with the elders and the remaining language-speaking people, they've developed a curriculum, and at their primary school, they can do it up to year 7, and they're developing a curriculum for secondary.
Yeah.
And they can pretty much learn everything in language up to year 7. The science issues are, what's the word, they're much more valid when you're learning them on the place.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Right. So they're talking about the place that they live on and the science of that place and the astronomy and all the different angles that affect that particular place. That's awesome.
It makes it sort of relevant and absolutely a reference.
It highlights the importance of language and place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.